Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Mavs Fanatics on Almighty Baller Radio.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
Yo. What it up? What up? What's going on? I hope everybody's good. I'm Tamen Turner. That is Mike DuPont sitting across from me. You know, it's weird because I'm usually behind the board and
this
now
is new.
I'm looking at the side of you.
This is new.
Yeah, it is. How you be?
You know what? For the first time, we can have a face-to-face conversation.
I know.
Normally,
I hope nothing gets heated because
you've got 6,000 things going on normally.
Yeah, right? I hope it doesn't get heated.
Oh, no, never that. Never that.
Lies. What up, everybody? By the way, I'm going to introduce a new member of the Dallas Sports Fanatic team on the Mavs Fanatic podcast, and that is Deshaun Walker running the boards. Hello, Deshaun. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Tay? What's going on, Mike?
First off, so now we've got another new face in the, room.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the Motor City, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Motor City. Shout out to the Michigan Wolverines. You know, that's my squad. And shout out to the Dallas Cowboys. I know that's my boy Tay squad right here. And Mike, who's your squad, man?
We're going to get to that later on in the show, actually.
Okay.
We're going to get there.
Okay.
But once upon a time, it was the Memphis Grizzlies.
Once upon a time.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting
tease. It's a little bit of a tease.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm interested to see, you know, why, you know, he... Not his team anymore, but we're gonna find out.
We'll take a guess. You know, it's been a little while. We were off last week, and now we're back on the thrill, and we are now going to talk again, like we did a couple weeks ago, about the Nerlens Noel situation. Because Dirk Nowitzki said in an interview this week,
Dirk had to weigh in,
would love to have him back.
Uh oh,
but. For some reason, I mean, it's almost the middle of August, and this dude is not on the roster yet.
Is that Dirk's way of kind of putting the pressure on the front office?
He's like, hello.
Hey, guys.
I signed a contract.
I'd like to be here a few more years with this Nerlens guy, if possible.
Yeah. I think he likes that because I think he understands that this team may not be a championship team, but Dirk Nowitzki wants to compete.
At least compete.
Right. And I think that he thinks that Nerlens Noel can compete, and
issue
he wants
is,
him to compete.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off. What's the issue here, Tamen? The issue is, Nerlens Noel can't stay on the court.
Yes.
Can't stay on the court.
That is...
Has he proven he can play consistently?
I mean, yes, that's the issue. And
so how
now
much
there,
is this
there,
worth?
There's a stalemate here.
Yes. Yes.
Nerlens
yes.
Noel's camp wants money, and they think he's worth something more than he's not. The market has clearly proven this offseason that he is not worth that.
But the longer he waits, it's like a sinkhole, isn't it? Almost kind of. The longer he waits, the deeper he falls.
Yes, and I think he's eventually going to just give in, and I think that's what the Mavericks are doing. They know that he's going to give in because nobody is going to give him what he wants. It's too late in the game for anybody to give him what he wants.
You think at least if the Mavs weren't interested, somebody would have signed him to an offer sheet by now?
That part is true.
That's kind of the most interesting part, wouldn't you say? That at least an offer sheet hasn't been signed. No pressure has been put on by any of the other teams in the NBA saying, hey, we'd at least take a shot at this guy if you guys – not even setting a market value for him. Why do you think that is?
I think it's his injuries. And on top of that, he wants a lot of money, right? But we have talked about on this show before.
What's a lot of money?
You're right. Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
We've talked about on this show before the change in the NBA on people getting paid nowadays.
Week after week.
Right. Nerlens Noel has not proven up to this point in his career that he is worth the money he wants. And the Mavericks do not want, as I like to call them, and the fans of our Dallas Sports Fanatic, formerly known as Mavs Fanatic, they know that I don't want another Erica Dampier on my hands. Remember, Mark Cuban has made that mistake before. He has made some mistakes with centers. Eric Dampier, not resigning Tyson Chandler, trading Tyson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, the name that should not be, the man who should not be named on this show.
And if you just want to slide one in between all of that, they might have outplayed actually his potential Sagana Jop.
Yeah, that okay. We can throw that name in there. I like Sagana too. But he doesn't want to make another mistake with a center.
Andrew Bogut. Is that a mistake with your center?
No, I don't think that was a mistake. I don't think it was
when
a mistake.
You got internal beef in your locker room?
Yeah, you know what? I was in the locker room last year.
Okay.
And I don't think there was beef. Dirk Nowitzki.
A little overblown?
Yeah. Dirk Nowitzki and Andrew Bogut just did not fit on the court. They're too slow.
Okay.
That was the thing.
It was just a non-fit.
Yeah, it was just a bad fit. I wouldn't necessarily blame that. It was an experiment that just didn't work.
And then, you know, the rumors, the murmurs, you know, about locker room chemistry, things like that. When really it was just it just didn't work.
Didn't work. Dirk Nowitzki and Andrew Bogut, and Deshaun is bringing up Zaza Pachulia, who played here in Dallas for a year. I actually like Zaza Pachulia. He was not bad while he was here, but I'll say this: the Mavericks do not want a guy.
I think he was a better fit than Andrew for sure.
Oh yeah, he was without a doubt. The Mavericks don't want a situation where they're paying a guy $15, $20 million.
And they're locked in. I mean, you're committing years. Right. Not only are you committing dollars, you're committing years to a guy who hasn't shown that he can consistently play.
They don't want a guy getting paid $15, $20 million who's only averaging 8 points and six rebounds.
Not only that, next year you're $15, $16 million to a guy that might only play 33 games?
Right, exactly.
55 games.
Right, and that's what they're cautious about. And other teams are rightfully cautious about that, too. So they have to put that on hold.
And that's what really affects that market value.
Right.
That's what really affects that contract negotiation. It's what really puts a wild card in there.
And I think this. I think the Mavericks are standing, or they're going to stay where they stand. Nerlens Noel has to give in.
Do you
feel Mavericks aren't? They're not going to change their mind.
How much money do you think is what's keeping this away? Do you think it's like $2 to $4 million range, maybe more than that? How far do you think these two sides are apart from each other?
I think it's probably $5 to $7 million.
Now, obviously, we're not there. We're not in the negotiation. You know,
we're not in the room. I think that the Mavericks want to pay him between 11 and 15.
I could see that was the number. 14 to 16 was the number I had in
I
my
think,
head.
Yeah, I think that the Mavericks would be nice and stretch to 16. But I think they're in the 11-15 range where Nerlens wants 17 to 20.
So we're talking about it at worst, we're talking about maybe $3 to $5 million off.
$3 to $5 million off. And that's big when you're committing to it for a number of years.
This is the case of, you know, when my team, the Pistons, went through with KCP. You know, he wanted
Caldwell Pope.
He wanted $18 million from the Pistons. He wanted to be the highest paid player. Now, excuse me, he wanted $24 million.
Okay.
He overpriced himself. He settled for what's like $14 million from the Lakers on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't be surprised if Noel get the same type of deal.
Where he just takes a 1 year deal.
1 year deal to prove himself all
over again next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least
next year he wouldn't have that RFA tag on him.
Here's the thing.
He'd be an unrestricted free agent.
I don't think the Mavericks would go for that.
And how would they be able to? They would have to step up in terms of getting them secure on a long-term deal.
Right. I don't think the Mavericks are going to go for a one-year deal because then let's say they do a one-year deal, right? And Nerlens Noel beasts next year. He's just a beast, right? Now Nerlens Noel has a lot of leverage.
Okay,
he's gonna be like, well, you guys only gave me 1 year when for the last year and a half I've been trying to get 3 or 4 years,
okay.
5 years.
Okay.
So now he has leverage. And the Mavericks don't want that to happen.
Well,
he really has his own leverage in the sense to begin with, because he could always just sign a 1 year offer sheet, and if the Mavs are forced to match that,
but like Deshaun said,
he would still be gambling on himself on a 1 year deal.
Right, but nobody's offering him anything. He's not getting any.
Maybe
anything.
That's because they're waiting to see how this lines out.
Do you think
Happy Walters, who's one of his agents, Happy Walters hasn't put it out there that he's willing to entertain a 1 year deal?
I think but
we're all speaking in hypotheticals.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. These are all hypotheticals.
I mean, maybe aliens.
But Nerlens Noel, he's a young, 23 year old?
Yeah.
He wants his money. He wants his deal. I think he's set on that. I think if this had changed maybe a month ago, Here it is. The NBA season ended, what, June 20-something?
And here we are still.
And here we are.
No, you're totally right.
Yeah, this is a month and a half
in. It's been drawn out.
And it's been so long drawn out.
You would have thought around draft night this might have been settled.
Right. Even if this were the middle of July, I would have been okay with that. But this, here it is, August the 9th that we're recording this, Wednesday, August the 9th, and there is no deal on the table in sight right now. To our knowledge, we have nothing.
And that's where Dirk has to step in, I guess.
Right. That's where Dirk stepped in and said, maybe get this thing done, guys. I'd love to have him here.
I agree with everything you guys are saying in a way. Y'all made some very valuable points here. But I would kind of think he has the leverage because he knows that Dallas need a big guy. And
that's very true.
And, you know, he can take this as long as he wants. I mean, sooner or later, any team's going to offer him a deal. Like, you know what? I'm tired of waiting on Dallas.
The longer he waits.
I'm tired of waiting on Dallas. I'm going to go ahead and take this one-year deal, or I'm going to take this two-year deal. I'm going to prove myself that, hey, number one, I'm healthy.
And then
two,
I can play.
I can play in three. We got can't forget, he is still young.
He is. That's what makes this different between Eric Dampier and Nerlens Noel. I mean, there's a big age gap when the Mavs acquired him.
That's true. Eric Dampier was older.
Yeah, he was on the way out.
No, not when they first signed him. When they signed him in what, 03?
No, you're right. He was peak prime.
Yeah, he was 28, maybe.
28, yeah. He was peak prime.
Right, he had a great year with the Warriors the year before.
Now, where I saw with Deshaun, we haven't even seen Noel's prime. What is his prime?
Right, and the potential, I think everybody agreed, the potential is there. If this man stays healthy and we assume that he grows,
so do you roll the dice on $12 million over 4 years then?
Well, see, that's what the Mavericks, well, maybe.
That little gap that we're talking about where the negotiations are off?
Right, maybe, because here's where the Mavericks are cautious. The Mavericks don't want to get stuck where they have a large situation, they have a contract situation with Harrison Barnes, a contract situation with Nerlens Noel, when it's time to pay Dennis Smith Jr.
If that's
the Mavericks
the case,
are looking at their future.
If that's the case, you're only making Deshaun's argument that they should gamble on a short-term deal.
But see, again,
if they don't want to worry about his finances and get caught up in this.
I get that, but they're nervous because if Nerlens Noel has a great year next year, then he can just walk up and leave. Or you
have to back up the Brinks truck. As we got, you know, a message on the Twitter account, I believe it was from one of the faithful listeners. We appreciate you for tweeting in.
We love you.
About the Nerlens bird rights were also acquired in the trade, so they could go over the cap to sign him. And obviously pay him more than any other team would be able to pay him. But it's all of that going to, I mean, that's a big gamble. That's obviously a big gamble.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about Dennis Smith Jr. right now as far as when he going to get paid, because when he become a free agent.
You got him on 4 years plus an option.
That money's going to go up. It's going to be there for him because that NBA money is going to get bigger and bigger.
That's the same thing Tammy keeps talking about. But I say it every week, the cap went down this year. The cap went down.
It did. It didn't go down by much, but it did went down this year. But it's going to go
but
right back
gonna
up.
But it's going to go up.
Yeah, it's going to go right back
that,
up.
That totally relies on more competitive playoffs and the way these teams are structuring themselves. I don't know if we're going to see any more game sixes, game sevens, the way Golden State is breezing through the West.
Well, I'll say this.
That extra money is coming from those extra games.
Golden State breezes through the West, eventually we're going to start talking about history being made.
Unless we just have some type of mountain to the, you know, some type of Mount Rushmore Eastern Conference playoffs.
Right.
Every series is seven games. Could you imagine? I mean, where we've got Boston and Cleveland and
Washington
and, potentially, yeah. Toronto maybe getting their act together, right, pushing a seven game conference semis.
Here's my thing. If Golden State,
DeMar DeRozan finding a jump shot.
Yeah. That's cold. Let's say that Golden State runs the West for the next 3 years. And there's going to be the people who will be like, oh, I'm so sick and tired of Golden State winning, blah, blah, blah. But eventually, we're going to start talking about history being made. And eventually, we're going to start talking. Golden State, last year when Kevin Durant signed there, they became the enemy. And I don't care what anybody says.
This is coming from the Russell Westbrook supporter.
They became the enemy. Don't go there.
And all I know is somebody's wearing a cupcake hat with a ring on it. That's all I know.
Right. Golden State right now is the enemy. And I proudly say that. But and eventually there's going to be a team that beats them. Eventually.
The Monstars? You're not scared of them.
Hey.
Are you, Michael?
Hey. I'm glad you brought that up because you know it was on ESPN today.
What was that?
In football, the 2007 Patriots. It's been 10 years.
Okay.
They went 16-0. Somebody beat them. The New York Giants did.
Of course, you had to work that in there.
Well, I hated that Super Bowl, and I have a lot of reasons for hating that Super Bowl. But to relate that to what we're talking about now, dynasties fall. It has happened all throughout sports, unless you're Michael Jordan. His Bulls did not fall. But dynasties fall, and eventually somebody will take them, most likely. And you and me and Deshaun and every other sports fan will be watching that game when Golden State gets taken down. Go look at the ratings for Game 6 in 2011 between the Mavericks and the Heat.
You always come back to this.
It was so high. You know why? Because everybody and their mama who wasn't rooted for the Miami Heat wanted the Miami Heat to fail.
Yeah, and they did when San Antonio beat them too.
Right. So eventually that will happen with Golden State. And we're going to be so happy. Those ratings are going to be
I think there are more people that love to hate Golden State than there are that love Golden State right now. I think we're already there.
Let me ask you this. Is this Golden
State? You just have to respect them as players.
Right. You respect their team. They're really good. But are they hated more right now than the Miami Heat were from 2011 to 2014? I don't think so.
No. No.
That Miami Heat team was hated by everybody.
They also play a very different style of basketball. I mean, Heat team was looking to dunk on anybody that was under the goal.
And that team got together differently than this Warriors team.
Oh, a lot differently. I mean, and we talk about that a lot, too, the way this team was drafted and built organically through the draft. And, I mean, just adding the piece that you hate in Kevin Durant.
I do.
We'll get to that later as well.
I do hate him. Good player. I just hate him.
Cupcake with a ring on his hat.
No, he's a cupcake, all right.
With a ring. I love that. I love that subtle jab that they've still got going back and forth. Are they just going to come out and say they despise each other? Are Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant just going to come out and say there's still animosity there?
I like what Peyton Manning said about Kevin Durant at the ESPYs. That was
gymnastics
great.
Gymnastics team.
Yeah. You know, the Olympics are coming up, Kevin. You know, maybe our team needs you. Maybe our girls need you.
Could you ever see a world where where those two play together again on the same team?
All-Star game.
For more than one game?
No.
No?
Maybe the Olympics. Maybe. They might play in the Olympics.
No weird world where they both end up in L.A.?
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, I couldn't see
it. I couldn't see it.
I was just pushing it.
Doubt it.
But that's a big push.
Very big push.
Paul George, all these other, Kawhi Leonard, all these other hometown and plus, guys, you know what, that you could go after before you go and try to pluck Kevin Durant.
I know this is going to sound very hypocritical. Because I'm a Cowboys fan. But why do we always talk about... One thing that annoys me about the Lakers, and I guess this way about the Cowboys too, is that they're always supposed to get everybody. And then they never get everybody. Every big name star is supposed to go there. But then every big name star never does. At least that's how it's been, how I've seen it.
Was Dwight Howard not a big name star in 2009?
Yeah, he was. Oh. He did go there. But I'm talking about every single year when free agency starts, every big-name free agent is supposed to go to the Lakers.
Was Karl Malone not a big-time free agent?
He was old.
Who was running
the Lakers? He was a big name, but he wasn't a big star.
Who was running the Lakers the last 4 or 5 years?
That would have been the other bus.
Yeah, Jimmy.
There you go.
And now Jeannie's running again, correct?
And she sucks, too.
Whoa. Now, she's not making basketball decisions.
She doesn't.
I'm okay with that.
Hey, yeah. I don't want to say
I'm
that.
Okay
that,
with
that. That was harsh.
I know, man. Come
that
on.
Was harsh.
Come on. You got to chill.
I apologize.
You going to L.A., man. That's rule number one.
That's
you
can't
not diss the Lakers in L.A., man.
Oh, I'm glad I know that.
Yeah, you diss the Lakers in L.A., man. I'll have to come get you, man. I got to. You know, they're gonna tear you up out there.
Don't try to go anywhere near Normandy and Western.
Yeah.
Talking there.
Stay away from the Staples Center.
I'm going to the Staples Center.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They'll have a real nice reception for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll wear a Kobe jersey. I'll be fine.
8 or 24? Are you wearing Adidas or Nike?
Well, I'm going to do the old school and go with the 8.
Okay. So you're going to Adidas.
Yeah.
All right. You might get a friend of Snoop Dogg then. You know, you go to number eight. But it's cool. It's cool.
There are players. It's cool. I don't like the Lakers, but there have been players who have played for the Lakers that I like.
I feel like 2001 Kobe's pretty underrated. We don't talk about that very often. Number eight Kobe.
Oh, yeah. I want to say this real quick because you brought that up. Maverick fans, I apologize. When I was 11, I had a Kobe Bryant binder.
Oh, gosh. You can't say Kobe that. Bryant I had binder. An Eduardo Nájera binder.
That is loyalty right there, sir.
I didn't really have an Eduardo Nájera binder. I just had to throw that name out there.
I was about to say, that is some straight-up loyalty because I bet you...
That was still my guy in 2001. It was like Eduardo Nájera.
What is Eduardo Nájera do right now?
What does he do right now?
Yeah.
Doesn't he work for the Mavericks?
Texas Legends, yeah.
Oh, I was about to say.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
2001, I was in L.A. during the playoff time, and I was in there on the Malibu and on the beach, San Diego on the beach.
I'll be there in 3 weeks.
Chilling.
3 weeks.
Loved it. Watching Lakers win a championship.
Yeah. Hey, man. We're not here for that.
Yeah. I got 3 weeks. I want to change the subject real quick because I want to go back to the Mavericks.
Okay.
And I want to talk about our wonderful owner.
We never even wrapped up the Nerland situation. So how That's much true. Longer do you take? How
Before
much longer
talk
do you
about Marky Bell.
How much longer do you give Nerland's? Before you do have to just break down and get something done. Do you go into training camp with nothing on the table?
Nerlens Noel will be on the Mavs roster by September 1st.
Who's gonna buckle first? On the record.
Nerlens Noel is.
Okay.
He's gonna buckle.
All right.
Mark Cuban has a stance. That's what the Mavericks aren't changing. If they haven't changed by now, they're not changing.
Speaking of Mark Cuban, by the way.
Speaking of Mark Cuban. I have a story about Mark Cuban. If anyone doesn't know, this has been a huge story, and I think it's been way overblown way from the beginning, is Colin Kaepernick. And Mark Cuban has made some talks, he's made some comments about Colin Kaepernick. He said this is what he said, particularly if he were, you know, in the NBA. I just had it up here. Let me find it. But let me give you the gist of the story. Colin Kaepernick has, a lot of people believe, has been blackballed by the National Football League, and for taking a stance last year. I don't know if people remember, but he took a knee during the national anthem, and that caused a lot of controversy. He said he was doing it because he was tired of people of color being affected by police brutality. Before I tell you what Mark said, Mike, your thoughts.
My thoughts on Colin Kaepernick's situation?
Yeah.
I feel like he will be a quarterback by week one.
Interesting.
Feel like he will have a job by week one, not preseason. Feel like he will have a job by week one in the NFL. If he does not, what is that more indicative of? I feel like that is probably going to be obvious by week two when we see a team that's going to get kind of backdoored into picking him up. Either way, Colin Kaepernick is going to end up on the field. And whether it's by force or by choice, there's no way that they're going to be that these owners are going to, well, for starters, obviously they can send the call down all they want, but they're either going to have to sacrifice wins for the sake of keeping Kaepernick off the field, or eventually someone's going to have to buckle.
All right. Well, I have what Mark Cuban said. I finally found that page. Sorry about that. To our loyal fans and listeners, Mark Cuban said, "I'm glad the NBA doesn't have a politician litmus test for our players. I'd like to think that we encourage our players to exercise their constitutional rights. Wow. The NBA is such a global game. I think our players' exposure to different political systems among their teammates may help them appreciate our country even more and encourage their participation." Your thoughts?
I think that was a very PC answer. I think that was a PC answer. I hear that answer. I think of Chris Jackson, Mohamed Abdul-Rauf.
Yes.
I think of how he was treated in Denver.
Yeah, and he got suspended for pretty much protesting the national anthem.
I think about Sharif Abdul-Rahim and some of the treatment that he endured while he was in Vancouver. I hear things like this. I think of what Adam Silver came out and said, but in retrospect, I also think about the speech that Chris Paul and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade that they gave. I think when I hear something like that, I think that the NBA is trying to find a way to be accepting, but to say that they've always been that way is probably, I think that's a little. I think that's a little bit, and I think that's a little bit off, to say the least. I also think that Mark Cuban just, maybe he was busy making a little bit of money while Mohamed was on the court. I don't think he owned the Mavericks at that time.
No, he didn't. Yeah, no, so. he didn't know that. Let's say this: since Mark Cuban bought the Mavericks in 2001,
Chris Jackson's last year was 98.
Yeah, so let's go from 2001 to 2017. Has the NBA done a good job at accepting players and letting them do what they want to do?
Are we talking about a league that instituted a dress code?
Did you have a problem with that?
Well, we're talking about a league that your question was the league that's accepting of players. And on the other side of that argument, you've got a league that's telling its players, okay, you need to wear this.
I don't have a problem with that.
The only reason you need to adhere to our standards.
Right. I hear that, but here's the thing.
Yes, it had a bad image problem at the time.
Well, I don't even care about the image problem. I look at it more as I have a dress code at my job. A lot of companies have dress codes. And while I admire the game and admire the sport, I think that if a business, which let's be honest, that's what the NBA is, that's what teams are, if these guys are employed by these teams in this league, they have a right to want to have a certain image, just like any other company does. So if they want to put in a dress code, I don't have a problem with that. That's their right to do that. And they should have that right to do that. Just as if you own the business or I had owned the business, if I wanted my employees a certain way, teams should have that right also.
I don't think that you can retroactively kind of force that on. I think that needs to be collectively bargained, especially when it hasn't, when you've had a league that functioned for over, 50 some odd years. Now, at the same time, I'm not drawing a line in the sand over the dress code policy, but you're asking me if I felt like the league has been accepting, yeah. And I'm looking at things the league has done that's shown it's not accepting. And so I answer that question with a simple no.
I got you. Deshaun?
The league, man, it just.
Now, can I ask you one question real quick? Just because you're older than us.
Yes.
You remember the league pre-01, before Mark Cuban bought the team.
Right.
How do you compare pre-01 NBA to now? And I'm saying pre-NBA, pre-2001, compared to pretty much our time of watching the NBA.
The league has improved. It has come more acceptance on the on protests. They actually, the league now listened to its players back before 01. 01, they weren't trying to hear you. Unless it was Michael Jordan, they not trying to hear you. Larry Bird, them guys, they not trying to hear you. The NBA now, they are listening to their star player. They are listening to the guys.
They have no choice. I mean, we've got social media. You have a thought, it can be out there in 10 seconds.
Right. So you just think about it. Back in prior to 01, back when Mike played, Bird played, Magic played, Isaiah Thomas played, just imagine if we would have had social media back then. All we had was reporters.
Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, Charles Barkley was social media. Yeah, Charles Barkley, yeah.
Nightmare.
Entertaining.
It took like 6 days to figure out who Charles Barkley spit on this week.
Not necessarily, because back then we knew he was going to spit on. But back then, Charles Barkley was entertaining because it wasn't him or Charles Oakley. They was fighting. But I think now, like I said, the league, they're listening to their player. Social media plays a role in it. And you got to get credit to LeBron James, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, because those are the ones who stand out front of this stuff. So I think the league has come around. I can see the league get even being more standout down the road. So it took a long time, but they made it. I wish the NFL would take note. I wish Major League Baseball would take note and hockey, because, you can't stay the same. That's what's wrong with the NFL. They stay the same. They refuse to change. And if they don't change, it's going to be that one sport where you just can't talk.
One thing that I do want to point out is in all of this, in Colin Kaepernick, the entire ordeal, what he has been very much under the microscope for when we're comparing the NFL to the NBA would not even be possible in the NBA because it's argued and it's written into your contract that you have to stand for the national anthem. So this wouldn't even be now. How would you have to? It obviously there's another way you can protest.
Now I was hearing you guys, y'all was talking about Chris Jackson, and back in the long time ago, I was working for Detroit Pistons, and when the Denver Nuggets, when they come to town, he stood, but he had to go to the back. And when he did stood, you know, he had his hands like this, and he'll just do his own silent little prayer. So it wasn't, you know, he was just that one guy who did his, I won't say did his own thing. He was just that one guy in the league, you know, who stood up for something. And that's what I mean. Back then, the NBA, you know, didn't know how to take that. Didn't know how to self that.
Okay.
But now, if you see guys do it, I think they have a,
they can at least create conversation.
They know how to handle it better.
Social dialogue.
Right. But back then when Chris Jackson did it, and that's a young kid, young guy, you know, I didn't understand.
He was crucified.
Yeah. I didn't understand what he was doing. I just thought, like, you know, why is he back here in the locker room, or why is he right here by the tunnel and not with his teammates? Did he have like an injury? Was he getting a little tape or something? No, that was his own silent protest. So I think now the NBA know how to handle that better.
Let me add this, because my personal stance on Colin Kaepernick, I've said this pretty much from the beginning. I think that people who are mad over that, I think that people are always going to have their feelings. I think that the league and owners and GMs are wrong for not wanting to sign him. This is a man who has his own beliefs on civil rights, his own belief on racial issues, and his own beliefs, his own political beliefs in America. He has that right to think that. I think that GMs and owners blackballing him, I think that's absolutely 100% wrong. I think that he is, I think he has every right to believe what he wants. I think that's the freedom of America. Now, obviously, fans are going to feel some type of way. I think that it shouldn't matter. And let's be honest here. If the 49ers had been good this past season, let's say they had gone 12-4, 13-3, nobody would have cared. It would have gone. It would have been a story that where all these fans who are upset wouldn't have been mad. I said it for like this. I know Tom Brady's white. But if Tom Brady were a black man with 5 Super Bowl rings, with all these accomplishments that he has, league MVPs, but he was black, this would be a non-story, because elitism goes a whole way in sports. If you are an elite athlete, you can do the worst thing in the world and people won't care. Just go ask Adrian Peterson. Go ask Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy got signed by the Cowboys after we know he abused his wife. Adrian Peterson got signed by was able to return to the Vikings, just got signed by the Saints this offseason after, granted, there were charges against him on child abuse. Now, that's a whole touchy subject as well. But I'm just saying, if you're looking at it straight from a legal issue, people will be like, whoa. Let's say if that had been the backup running back on the Bengals. I don't know who the backup running back is on the Bengals.
I understand.
But let's say if it had been that and he did child abuse, we all would have been like, let's throw him out of the league. Elitism goes a long way in sports. So if Colin Kaepernick were an elite quarterback, if this had happened to Colin Kaepernick 3 or 4 years ago when he was going to the NFC title game and going to the Super Bowl, nobody would have cared.
A perfect counterexample of that, though, is Tyreek Hill right now and the way Tyreek Hill is perceived in Kansas City. I mean, Tyreek Hill essentially can do no wrong in that offense, in that system, but no one wants to talk about the guy that Tyreek Hill once was before he got drafted. Nobody wants to talk about. Now, understand, there's a big difference in comparing the two, because one guy broke a law. The other guy hasn't done anything other than stand for his own beliefs. There's a slippery slope when you're trying to compare the two. All I'm saying in making that comparison is that image doesn't necessarily indicate the narrative. It doesn't always drive the narrative.
Right. And in regards to Mark Cuban, and going back to the NBA here for a second, you know, we talked about has the NBA changed? What has it done? Did the NBA get it right with Donald Sterling?
I think it did.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it did too.
Yeah, quick. Yeah,
I think it was they saw something, they heard it, they took action, and he's gone.
Did it get it done with Danny Ferry or the Atlanta Hawks?
I don't know about that because there was a lot of he said, she said in that, right? There wasn't a lot of concrete evidence. And if you're going to make accusations about people, especially on a magnitude about racial issues, there should be some very concrete evidence because I'd say this. It is bad to be a racist.
Sure.
But it's also bad to be accused of being a racist.
Of course.
When you're not a racist. That is a terrible thing to do.
Right. Back to the Kaepernick. I kind of think that regardless of what type of season would have had, I still think he would opt out of his contract, and I still think he probably wouldn't have got signed because he's not because he's protesting what's going on in America, in our communities. And the simple fact just because he knelt down instead of standing for the national anthem, I still think we'll be right here talking about this right now like we are. I don't think nothing would have changed.
So going into, you know, let's go to the NBA here for a second. If this happens in the NBA, will, let's say a player who is a very good player, a very known player, takes a stance like this season, will there be a blackball, a blacklisting, or will it have the outrage as Colin Kaepernick had?
Nope. I don't think so.
Why is that?
I kind of come back to what Deshaun was saying about the guys that are out at the forefront in the NBA, and that could be due to a whole number of issues, but I look at the guys that are out in the forefront just kind of encouraging dialogue, be it however or whatever dialogue it may be, but just encouraging an open channel and an honest channel. I think with those guys at the forefront, those kind of issues are really those guys at the top are in a position where they are that they can kind of take those younger guys, a guy that might fall into a situation like that, they can kind of take a guy like that under their wing, console him a little bit, not console him, but kind of school them a little bit, so to use that word, but kind of understand and just let them understand why and how they need to go about using that image and spreading that image and spreading their messages and being very coded in a sense, not to just all the way put themselves out there. But I don't feel like in today's NBA, it's kind of a step backwards for what I've been saying this entire time. But I don't feel like someone it would say that and or do something like that and it would be received the same way. Now, like I said, that could be due to a number of issues, due to the audience, the crowd, the geographic, not the geographic, but just the demographic of the makeup of the NBA, along with the fans that watch it. But that's an entire different issue in itself. But I just don't feel like in today's NBA that would necessarily be an issue. Even if you flip it on its head and say that somebody were to make a comment from another background, from another ethnic or political background, would it be a situation where they were to be, you know, chastised openly? I think there would be a situation where there could be honest dialogue behind closed doors where that person doesn't have to be drugged through the media firestorm for 6-9 months like Colin Kaepernick has been.
I'm going to say this too real quick because to allude to you and to what you just said and to expand a little bit, because the NBA and NFL have way two huge different fan bases. And, you know, there's this notion that what Colin Kaepernick did was unpatriotic. And I want to point out that patriotism is defined differently by different people. You know, some portion of the country, for some people, it's showing pride in your country, you know, showing off the flag, showing American patriotism. There are some things where it's defined as, well, I want to do that, but America hasn't lived up to that. So I'll do that when America improves and lives up to its word. And a lot of people, there's a distinction there. There's a wall there. There's a battle there that I don't think some people understand. And I'll give you another example. The Golden State Warriors just won the NBA championship. Now, sure. This is going to get political.
Okay.
You know.
They didn't go to the White House.
Well, I don't think they go in next year when they play the Wizards. Usually that's when the teams go because they're in Washington, D.C. Are they going to go see Donald Trump? And that's the question we don't know. I know there was a report that said they weren't. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson said, we'll see. There was a heated campaign in 2016. There was a lot of division, a lot of it on racial lines. So when we talk about acceptance and we talk about the NBA, people grow up differently. And people's definition of patriotism is going to vary person to person based on the experiences that they've had in that country. Obviously, this country being the United States. So people have to understand that when it comes to acceptance. And that goes on both sides, because there are some people who feel very strongly about the flag and, doing the national anthem and the pledge and whatnot.
Finding common ground.
Right. Exactly.
Me personally, yeah. I'm going to the White House if I was a basketball player, because I'm not going there because it's Donald Trump.
It's your one chance to go to the White House.
Right. Maybe if I was one of those on the team where I know I'm getting back there 2, 3, 4 times, I'm going to go every time, because it's not about the president. It's about being recognized as being the champion by the world and our country.
It's kind of like, and I'm going to actually quote a president here, President Bush. He said, it's not about the occupant in the office. It's the office itself.
Right.
That you're respecting. And so you said you would go. You would go?
I would not go.
You would not go. I guess it's up to me. I would go only because I'm kind of like in the Sean spot. I'm going to go to the White House. And to me, it's not about the president.
I just want to say it has nothing to do with the office. I'm just not a social person.
Well,
Let me get my Netflix and chill on.
I understand if, you know, some of the players, the team doesn't go. That's cool. That's your decision. But me, you know, I want to be recognized as a champion. And, you know, I want our president or whoever's there to recognize me. Hey, the Golden State Warriors, y'all the best team in the NBA, probably the best team in the country, recognize the champion. I'm good with that.
And Deshaun being the champ that he is, he would FaceTime me from from the visit.
Yeah.
And then it's like I was there.
White House line.
And then it's like I was there.
Now, see, the champion that I am, I would definitely be sitting there in the Oval Office, be like, all right, we're going to act number one, party all day, celebrate our championship. We're going to do this parade all over again.
Well, there we go. That ends that. For our last and final topic of the day. This is the fun part.
Oh, this is the fun
part. This is going to be a lot of fun.
This is where we find out why Mike gave up on the Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah, that'll be interesting.
Just to kind of bring that back in.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of forgot about that for a second. I sent Mike and Deshaun a list, and it's just a random list. It's just something I thought in my head about NBA players I hate, players I think are overrated, players that I think is underrated, players that I like, players I secretly like, and my favorite player and my second favorite player. Now, I'm going to go down my list.
Okay.
Y'all can debate me, fight me, do whatever you want, but I will defend my ground. NBA player that I hate. I don't think it comes to any shock. NBA player that I hate is the cupcake himself, Kevin Durant.
There it is.
Can't stand him.
Got a ring.
As ESPN superstar, as ESPN Stephen A. Smith said, the weakest move by a superstar in professional sports.
Finals MVP versus MVP. Which one gets the? I believe the alligator eats the bigger number. So you put it towards the MVP.
He didn't need the Warriors. The Warriors didn't need him.
He got a ring, Tay. So
I'd rather have finals MVP.
Listen,
he got a ring. I'd rather have finals MVP.
I know Deshaun has heard me say this, but you're going to hear me say this for the first time, and I don't care what anybody says. James Jones has a ring, too. You know why? Because he joined a team that he knew could win a championship. That's exactly what Kevin Durant did by joining the Golden State Warriors.
As they called him, the OG. Don't you come for the OG. You leave the OG alone.
He's the OG. He is a cupcake with icing. With
James Jones was
frosting.
In the league for about 10 years before he got that ring.
So was Kevin Durant.
And then he was
so
just,
was Kevin Durant.
And he was just riding.
Kevin Durant been in the
league. Well, James Jones didn't do anything. He was just in the league. Hey. I think it was more of an accomplishment that he, I don't want to say he didn't do anything. He's more of a 5 to 7 point per game. Type guy.
James Jones, a 3-time champion. He's a 10-time bench warmer.
And as long as Bron got a job, he'll continue to be a bench warmer.
Hey, look. He's probably LeBron James. He's the Jane game.
For the record,
he's
retired.
In the James game. It's okay. Remember, he was the NBA treasury. It's okay.
Now I'm going to name the player I think is overrated. Dwayne Wade. Overrated. He's a great player.
I have a feeling this has either some 2006 or 2011 tie.
Now, I will say this. Not 2011.
One or the other.
There is some 06 tie. I'll give you that. There is some 06 tie in the sense that.
There's got to be.
He went to the free throw line a million times. But let me go on for that. I do think one of my favorite plays in NBA history actually came from Dwayne Wade. When he dunked on Varejao, which I thought was the most hilarious dunks I've ever seen. But with that said, this man has two more rings that LeBron James gave him. Because he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything.
Is Dwayne Wade's jersey getting retired in Miami?
Absolutely. Okay. I don't doubt that. But he's overrated.
They don't beat Indiana without Dwayne Wade.
Cool.
So he did something.
Cool. He's a good player. I'm not saying he's bad. He's just, we always think Dwayne Wade, three-time NBA champion, blah, blah, blah.
This is another finals MVP that is overrated.
He was not the best player on his team in 2012 and 2013. I'm going to go.
Was he in 2006, though? At least give him that. At least give him that. Are you going to defer to Shaq?
I'm going to defer to Shaq.
I figured you were.
Why I defer to Shaq? I'll tell you why I defer to Shaq. In 2005, against your Pistons, Eastern Conference Finals, who got hurt? Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal got hurt. Miami Heat couldn't do anything. 2006. Shaq is back. Shaq goes to the finals. Miami Heat wins championship.
When did he get hurt?
He was definitely in game 5 or 6. He definitely did. And that's what ultimately lost Miami that series.
That was down 3-2, right?
You could make the same. You could make the argument.
I don't
that
remember
balance
so
had more.
All I know is that he got hurt.
And Shaq.
I'm gonna do a little rapid fire here because I want you guys
let's go ahead.
To do yours.
Let's go
Players
ahead.
That I think are underrated. Dirk Nowitzki,
of course.
And I know this man right here hates him. Scottie Pippen.
I had to go do my Scottie Pippen homework after the last time we had a Scottie Pippen conversation, and just evaluating Scottie Pippen's 94 season without Michael Jordan. And the dunk he had on Patrick Ewing when he took Patrick's soul, I'm hard pressed to disagree with you.
Good player.
Yeah, underrated. NBA players that I like. These are my current guys. Well, there's one non-current, but that's okay. NBA players that I like: Dirk Nowitzki, obviously. Michael Jordan. That's the only former player. Here's the guy everyone knows I love, Russell Westbrook. The guy's a stud. Kawhi Leonard, I like him too. Even though he plays on the Spurs, I do like Kawhi Leonard. Big fan.
We need a whistleblower, a train horn every time he talks about Russell Westbrook.
Hey, look, man, I'm going to need you not to get too excited about Russell Westbrook over Dirk Nowitzki, all right, man? I'm going to start questioning your fan loyalty, all right? You got a little excited about Russell Westbrook. Dirk didn't get that same reaction, man.
Can I make a response?
Yes.
The only reason why I did that is because I know this man sitting right next to me on my left hates Russell Westbrook.
Hate is a very strong word.
I didn't think he was the MVP.
I didn't think he was the MVP.
Who you thought was MVP?
James Harden.
Anyway, before I let my co-host Mike DuPont tell us his list, NBA players I secretly like: Steph Curry, I'm a big fan, actually. Chris Paul, always kind of been a fan. Carmelo Anthony, despite him playing on the Knicks. And Klay Thompson. I'm a big Klay Thompson.
And you watch out, because now he's got some help. He doesn't have to play all 82 games plus all 6 of the other.
Who got some help?
He's got some help now.
Who?
And he's coming for the MVP.
Who?
James is coming.
Anyway, like I was saying, my favorite NBA player of all time, he's from Germany, Wurzburg. He had a weird-looking cut when he got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks in 1998 and got
traded him for Robert
Tractor
Trailer.
Got traded for Robert Tractor Trailer. And he is not only a man, he's not only a myth, he's not only a legend, he is a god in Dallas and an emperor in the city of Wurzburg, Germany. That is
beautiful
my boy,
kids.
Number
beautiful
41.
Kids. Beautiful kids.
Dirk Nowitzki. He's a finals MVP, MVP, what, 15-time All-Star? I love the guy. Can do no wrong in my book. And my second favorite player of all time is,
of course,
the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, mm-hmm. number 23 and number 45.
I'm going to let you make it for putting him second.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I was about to, I'm glad you said
hey,
that.
Hey, I can have that because of Dirk.
That's what, I'm going to let you make it Thank for putting him second.
I want to hear your terrible
I'm going to just go ahead and kick this off. NBA player that I hate. The Memphis Grizzlies were once upon a time, I'm not going to take too long on this. They were once upon a time in a situation where they had seven guys that were averaging 10 points or better. They traded one of them. They were in a point where they had to pick one or the other. They traded one of them. He was an all-star last year. He's a point guard for the Toronto Raptors. They had to pick either one or the other, and they picked Mike Conley. The NBA player that I hate is none other than Michael Conley, the tricky lefty. He rode Greg Oden's coattails all the way from, I believe it was Lawrenceville, when they went to high school together, all the way up to
Ohio State,
all the way into the NBA. And he broke down that Memphis Grizzlies team. They had to give him $153 million. Now Zach Randolph's gone. Now they've got to figure out what they're going to do with Marc Gasol. Rudy Gay's been gone because they had to give Mike Conley $153 million. O.J. Mayo had to stop shooting the ball, and now he's doing Lord knows what. He's got PED suspensions all over the place. Kyle Lowry, meanwhile, is still taking way too many three-pointers, but I would at least give him $90 million over 3 years before I give Mike Conley $153
million. I did not expect that.
NBA player that I hate.
That was a total shock.
Despise. I loathe Mike Conley.
Do you hate him more than I hate Kevin Durant?
I loathe Mike Conley more than I used to love the Memphis Grizzlies.
Do you hate Mike
now,
Conley?
Imagine what that feels like. You're watching a team that you just really, really like, and you're like, man, I hope he just doesn't have a good game. Like, man, if he had 15 assists and zero shots, that would be great.
Do you hate him more than I hate Kevin Durant? Is it up there?
It's past it.
Oh, wow.
I don't even want to. I don't want to expand. I'm gonna just move on.
Who's your overrated?
We'll get through
player.
That through the show. NBA player I think is overrated. Number one, Tristan Thompson.
I totally agree.
Big time overrated. Number two, and this one probably will get some pushback. Serge Ibaka. Right now, where he is.
Yeah, I agree.
Think he's very overrated. His best years were behind him, 2012, 2013. He averaged like 3.7 blocks per game. He went from 3.7 to 3.4 to 3.2 to 3 to 2.7.
Just kept going down.
And I think now he's averaging like maybe a 1.7 blocks per game. It's just really getting ridiculous. I think he's very overrated. NBA players that I think are underrated, and I don't know what this says. I think this is more indicative of his talent than anything. But NBA players that I think are underrated, Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is underrated.
Really?
I really do. I think that we've yet to even reach the surface of how talented he could be because he's starting to add a little bit of range to his game, a little bit of range to his offense. He feels like he can, and he can already defend the perimeter and the paint. So he's a two-way defender that can switch off of screens. He's essentially an NBA unicorn. He can guard the rim. He can play out on the perimeter. He can shoot. With range, is he's starting to kind of expand on that now with DeMarcus Cousins. And obviously, he's already a rebounder, and he can run the floor as well, like a gazelle. He really doesn't have a lot of times where he's off the court. The Pelicans haven't been good, but he hasn't been off the court very often. I think he's very underrated. And like I said, I know that's a stretch to say, but I think it's more indicative of his true talent and what we haven't gotten to. And Karl Anthony Towns, I think he's a spitting image, Anthony Davis in the future. NBA players that I like, Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Durant. I'll say that one more time, NBA players that I like. Oh, did I tell you about Kevin Durant? Dirk Nowitzki.
You see, I had no response to that.
John Wall, Kawhi Leonard, and I'll get to this other guy next. He's coming back up soon, another player that I like. NBA players that I secretly like, Marc Gasol, as I just touched on, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, hometown hero. I grew up here in the area, so watching Chris Bosh in Dallas. That was something that was familiar to me. Used to get up on Saturdays, watch his high school special show. Jimmy Butler, Eric Bledsoe. Favorite NBA player right now? Going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's another player that's
unexpected, but a goodie.
NBA player that I like. So favorite NBA player right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Second favorite NBA player? This one was really tough. This one was really tough. Second favorite NBA player, I went with Russell Westbrook.
I knew it! I knew it!
It hurt.
Yes!
It was hard.
Yes!
It really hurt.
Yes!
It was like, okay, yes. It's either because I automatically ruled out. I didn't go with former players because obviously Jordan would be the best.
That is awesome.
I feel like we can agree on that. The GOAT is Jordan, so we don't have to ask who my GOAT is. The GOAT is Jordan. We all know that. We don't have, so I didn't want to use any former players.
I knew I liked you.
It was either Russell or LeBron, and I thought to myself, when's the last time you saw LeBron just really getting it going out? Really just getting it going offensively. He really hasn't been there very often. I mean, the free throw line is catastrophic. You don't want to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about LeBron at the free throw line right now.
Facts.
I went with Russ. I went with Russ Dickulous. I thought about all the arguments that we've had and the points that you've made.
Yes.
That he really, he has to take the shots because who else is going to take the shots?
Yeah, thank
Do you want Victor Oladipo taking the shots? Do you want Andre Roberson taking the shots?
No.
Do you want Steven Adams
Not
taking elbow jump shots? Maybe get Enes Kanter a few more touches. I got
Warmer.
No beef with that.
What about Kyle Singler?
Kyle Singler, you stay over there with Nick Collison. You stay over there and you keep that bench warm. Keep that bench warm.
Deshaun says we have a few minutes.
That's it. That's all I got for you.
Do a rapid fire real quick of everybody.
Well, since I'm an old school player, so I ain't new to old school. I'm new to today's player.
I'm looking forward to this.
The NBA player I hate, Hassan Whiteside. The NBA player I think is overrated, Boogie.
Boogie Cousins? Yeah. Wow, overrated?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you seen how much weight he's lost?
I know he's lost a lot of weight, but he calls his team a lot of games.
He does.
Okay. He does. And NBA player that I think that are underrated. It was a little hard, but I'm gonna go with even he hasn't played yet. De'Aaron Fox, because they weren't questioning his ability to
how can he say a guy who hasn't played yet?
I'm just going with you.
First, that's a lot of pressure on Deshaun. Second, that's a lot of pressure on De'Aaron Fox. Even
for real.
More.
Okay. Underrated. Bradley Beal.
I agree.
Bradley Beal.
He's underrated.
Because no matter what,
he's a player.
He's always going to be number two to John Wall. All right? And another person, another team, let's go with
Andre
Harrison
Drummond?
Burns. Don't start with that. Don't start with me with that one.
Tobias Harris?
The NBA players that I like, Seth Curry, Draymond Green, not Tobias Harris. And the NBA player I secretly like, James Harden. Because I do find myself late night.
How do you feel about Darko Milicic?
Ooh, don't. Stop. Turn it off. Turn his mic off.
Do you have nightmares? Do you have nightmares about Carmelo Anthony?
Nope. Because I got that ring.
Oh, you did. You did.
I'm a favorite NBA player, Steph Curry. My all-time favorite player, Michael Jordan. Number two, Magic Johnson.
Solid list. Very respectable list.
We want to talk about my Detroit Pistons. And simply put it, we don't got enough time to. I can't really tell you how I feel about.
And it's the Mavs Fanatic Podcast, so we're staying away from Pistons.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, I'll just rapid fire. I'll give you real quick. You're talking about the Pistons. I'll give you rapid fire. My Mavs, five favorite Mavs of all time. Number five, I'm gonna go with because we did have an article about this on Dallas Sports Fanatics recently. Number five. First off, honorable mention. I'm gonna go with Avery Johnson. Number five, I'm going to go with Jamal Mashburn. Number four, I'm going to go with Don Nelson. Don Nelson's got to be recognized as one of the Mavs, you know, one of the instrumental organizers of the Mavs in their current format. I mean, being able to run and get out of there. Number three, I've got to say Steve Nash. Number two, very unpopular opinion, I'm going to say Dirk Nowitzki. Number one, favorite Mav of all time, and this is how I was raised, how I grew up. Grew up watching him wearing his jersey, fifth grade, Jason Kidd, Jay Nasty.
All right. Well, number one is definitely Dirk, but as we get ready to hurry up, I'm Tama T. That's Mike DuPont. Follow us on Twitter at Dallas_sport.
Let us know your top five Mavs.
You'll love us. I will tell you guys my top five Mavs, and you let us know, too. Tayman was right. Mike was wrong. Deshaun was wrong, too. That's the end of the story. Have a good one, everybody.